This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Downtown Crossing was once the retail core of Boston, but it's been struggling for decades, more than ever since the Filene's building was demolished. In recent years, though, there's been a growing movement to revitalize the area. It's called a business improvement district, and with it comes a special property tax that would go to cleaning up the streets and making them more inviting to shoppers. But the Boston Globe reported this morning that a number of large property owners don't want to play along, and that has the plan in jeopardy. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea has done a lot of reporting on Downtown Crossing, and he joins me now to explain. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sasha.
So, Adam, let's start with the basics. What exactly is a business improvement district?
It's an idea that was born in the 70s when, you know, after downtown areas across North America had really fallen into decline. And it's a specific geographic area where all the property owners would pay an extra property tax that goes into a fund that then goes to make improvements within that district. These are improvements that are supposed to make all the businesses more profitable within the borders, you know, sprucing up the streets, that kind of thing. And the fund is usually administered by a quasi-government or nonprofit agency.
And businesses voluntarily sign up for this, or they have to do it if they're within this district?
Well, it works differently in different states. In most states, a majority of the property owners in a proposed district have to sign a petition saying that they want to do this. And then if the city signs off on it, it's done. Whether you've signed the petition or not, you have to pay that extra tax.
But it works differently in Massachusetts.
Yeah, exactly. That's the rub. It's voluntary in Massachusetts. So 64% of the business owners in the proposed Downtown Crossing district signed the petition saying, yes, please tax us. And then in August, the city council approved the tax, and any property owners that didn't want to pay it had until a date in September to opt out.
Okay, so if you didn't support the tax, then you're not stuck paying the tax.
Exactly. So only 20% of the property owners in the proposed district chose to opt out. So the district actually picked up some support over that period. The problem that the Globe reported on this morning is that 20% that opted out, those property owners account for more like 30% of the assessed value in the district. So these are some of the bigger property owners. And they would have been making larger contributions to the fund, and their absence to this effort is keenly felt as a result.
So how much are we talking about in terms of dollars here?
In the scheme of things, you know, not that much. The Business Improvement District supporters wanted to raise enough money for a $4 million annual budget. And now that budget is going to have to be closer to $2.8 million.
And that number's lower than expected because of those 20% of businesses that decided to opt out and that they're not contributing to the fund.
Right. So let me give you an example. One of the property owners who opted to not pay the tax is a New York real estate firm called Tishman Speyer, which owns the big brown office tower that's at 1 Federal Street. And they pay, I did some numbers crunching this morning, they pay about $11.3 million in real estate taxes on that building every year. Their additional bill to be part of this business improvement district would have been $314,000. And they're not going to pay that. They're declining to comment. And it's not just big real estate companies that aren't paying either. The Globe also reported this morning that the three McDonald's restaurants in that area aren't going to pay either.
So what happens to the businesses if they don't pay?
That's the thing. Absolutely nothing. They'll benefit from the improvements made in the district, whether they help to pay for them or not. And this has gotten Mayor Menino, among others, pretty angry. And we got him on the phone this morning.
Why are these companies being selfish and not participating in the upgrade of the area around their properties? It only does them a benefit, and it's so unfortunate these companies see the selfishness of their move. And McDonald's, I mean, they generate more trash, and we just help the area around their McDonald's look like a little cleaner place to go to eat in.
So we have Menino saying the businesses are selfish if they choose not to opt in and pay the tax.
Strong word.
It is a strong word. Okay, Adam, don't go anywhere yet because we have Rosemarie Sansone on the line. She's a former city councilor and she's now executive director of the Downtown Crossing Partnership. That's the group that's been the driving force behind getting this business improvement district passed. Rosemarie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's delightful to be here, even on this rainy day.
Good. Thank you. So, Rosemarie, tell us first, what is this money collected going to pay for?
Well, business improvement districts have been in existence for over 20 years across the country. And as you've discussed, Boston and Massachusetts is unique in having this opt-out clause. But the money that is collected by the property owners who decide to be part of this professionally managed space will be paying into a corporation that will provide services across the district, that will provide for cleanliness, trash removal, graffiti removal, people in uniforms throughout the day, 7 days a week, that will be addressing visitors' questions, making sure that people have accesses to MAP, know about events that are taking place. There'll be marketing opportunities. It's really an opportunity to look at the space that so many people travel into through the downtown Boston area that includes the theater district, the ladder district, downtown crossing, part of the financial district, and into Government Center. It really provides an opportunity to promote this as a destination that people will want to be in, that people will understand all the wonderful attributes that this place has and the millions of dollars that have been invested to make sure that that investment is protected with a business improvement district.
So, Rosemary Sansone, besides those uniformed people who'd be handing out maps that you just mentioned, you also talked about, you know, daily cleaning crews and graffiti removal. Why aren't those services that are already covered by tax revenue?
Well, bids are successful.
Bids being business improvement districts.
Improvement districts are created not to replace city services, but to supplement those activities that are already conducted. People know that with limited dollars across the country and across the state in terms of services that need to be provided, that cities alone cannot do what they used to be able to do because those dollars just are not available. So business improvement districts have been created to supplement services that were already in place to make sure that those services can be provided and really, really pay attention to the details. Make sure that all the graffiti is removed. The same public works crew that concentrates on downtown crossing and the downtown Boston area is also in the North Station area, the Back Bay area, South End. They're in many, many different areas. What a business improvement district means is that people who will be working in this area will stay in this area. All of the resources and the money that is raised for the bid will stay in the downtown Boston area. So that people will see an enormous number of improvements on a daily basis.
Listeners, we're talking about the Business Improvement District in Downtown Crossing and the property owners there that have chosen not to contribute to a fund that's part of that district that would go to remove graffiti and clean up the streets and have people handing out maps. We want to know what you think about the idea of this, of asking business owners to pay an extra fee for services like cleaning crews and graffiti removal. We also want to know if you think these kind of improvements would get you shopping downtown again if you're not doing that already. We're at 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK. Rosemary Sansone, I was looking at some of the comments on Boston.com this morning that were posted after the Globe published its story, and I'm sure you've seen these. One person wrote, "This is just another shakedown, racket-like paying protection money to the mafia." Now, that's obviously very strong.
But what the a little bit.
That's Adam Ragusa still with us. But what the person goes on to say is, why can't the city do what it's supposed to do with the taxes it already collects? The person says, use Boston police to try to get people who are loitering moving along. Use the DPW to clean the streets and remove graffiti. So what are your thoughts about property owners who claim, look, we already pay taxes. We think we're getting services through those taxes. This is, as this person says, a shakedown. What about that argument?
Well, for most people who make that argument, they really don't understand what bids are. We were very, very lucky throughout the campaign. The first person who signed a bid petition to form the bid signed it last February. And by May of last year, we had 62% of the property owners engaged in the conversation and understood why this was necessary. They had looked at bids across the country and saw how they were successful and understood that cities could no longer provide the extent of service that is really required, especially in an area that has so many people traveling through it every day. There's a lot of wear and tear in the downtown Boston area.
So you think it's just a modern reality that with today's state and national budget situation, people might have to chip in more to get some of these services?
Absolutely. New York has 64 business improvement districts with 14 in the pipeline. They are wildly successful. They're in Times Square, 34th Street, Bryant Park, to name just a few. Property owners understand to protect their property and their investment that business improvement districts are a reality and really something that we'll see more of in the future.
And Rosemary Sansone, how is it fair that businesses that don't contribute to the fund still benefit from the services and other improvements that are paid for through the fund?
Well, one of the things is that we had to draw the line at some point so we could get this campaign concluded and off the ground. With 80% of the property owners that are on board, We are going to continue the conversation with the property owners that have opted out. They didn't all opt out for the same reason. Some are in financial hardship. Others really just didn't get it, like McDonald's. The equity piece is interesting. I think they do understand why a business improvement district is important. They are still engaged in conversations with us. So I'm hoping that 20% that you mentioned, they're going to be with us before the end of the day. But we wanted to get this thing started. We wanted to make sure that we could demonstrate how successful this is going to be and why it's important.
And you hope they'll come around.
And we know they will. I mean, I believe that they will. We have people from State Street, Fidelity, Bank of America, Synergy, many property owners, Millennium, Suffolk University, for one, that's a nonprofit organization that's been very helpful in making the case because they've made a major investment in this area. Many of those people are going to have conversations with the equity folks and other people that opted out. It's really about people being engaged in a process.
Rosemary Sansone, I want to turn back to Adam Ragusa, who's here with me in the studio, because as I mentioned earlier, Adam has been reporting a lot on efforts to revitalize Downtown Crossing. And Adam, based on what you've heard from property owners you've talked to, do these property owners think that creating this district and creating this fund is actually going to do what it takes to revive Downtown Crossing?
A lot of them do. You have a lot of small property owners like E.B. Horn, the jewelry store, you know, small guys who have been very enthusiastic supporters about this from the beginning. And they think that things like the uniformed ambassadors, like the coordinated attempt to try to cut down on graffiti and loitering and all of that is going to really help. But I did recently talk to a business owner who's not nearly as sanguine about the whole thing. And his name is Bob Furlong. He owns Copley Flair, which is a little gift and card shop that started out in Copley Square, and they have another location in Downtown Crossing, which they opened in the 80s. And business has just been really bad for the guy lately. So here's my little conversation with Bob.
There's a huge amount of unemployment, white-collar unemployment down here, and that's like our demographic is financial services and banking. So
if you're a banker and you don't see your mom enough, this is the place you go to get the card.
Exactly,
to apologize. Right.
Yeah, you get it right. You know, we've been in Back Bay since the 70s, and every year the neighborhood's gotten better and business has improved. And we've been here since 87, and virtually things have been either the same or worse. And, you know, the last few years especially, I mean, the sidewalks are a mess. You know, now you have this huge gaping hole where Filene's Basement was. And I think you have to have anchors, retail anchors, to draw people. And I've had discussions about this with other retail, some retail gurus, and some of them want, you know, big box in downtown. And, you know, I have to say that...
Like a Target or something?
Yeah. I mean, I probably would be more, you know, I was arguing for a Target, and this good friend of mine was arguing for Walmart.
Really?
And I'm not a huge fan of Walmart, but he reminded me that there's a lot of working poor in Boston too, and there's
who pass through Downtown Crossing on the T.
Completely, and you know, and that might be the piece that they need. As opposed to, we're having this conversation about the idea of the faux gas lamps and the brick sidewalks and everything in Downtown Crossing. He said, "Well, you know, that's all nice to finish it off. You need a core draw for people to actually want to shop in the area."
So Bob's whole thesis is that Downtown Crossing really needs to let go of the idea of itself as this upscale shopping destination. He's saying that we've got Chestnut Hill now, we have Back Bay. Downtown just needs to readjust its expectations. And until that happens and we get a big new retail anchor, no amount of window dressing is going to help.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear the terminology upscale shopping district, because I haven't heard anybody say that in the entire campaign or conversation about the Downtown Crossing, Downtown Boston area. It's really not about making it an upscale area. It's really about looking at all the attributes that we already have. We have 230,000 people that travel through the area every day, 160,000 employees, 5 hotels. The Freedom Trail, which the Copley Flair store is on, gets 3.5 million visitors a year. So we're already looking at some numbers that many other areas are envious of. What we need to do is make sure that those details that I mentioned in terms of making this clean and as safe as it can be in terms of programming and marketing and really paying attention to the details is accomplished. And bids, by the way, are not successful unless there is a very close working relationship with city government. And we're very lucky that we have a mayor and an administration that is very, very positive about the creation of a business improvement district, because BIDs cannot work alone. This is not, as I mentioned earlier, to in any way supplement, in any way replace city services.
Rosemary Sansone, we have a website comment posted from a listener, and I want to read this to you and get your take on it. It's from a listener named Roberto, and he writes, property owners may be feeling much less flush. Isn't Tishman belly up on big properties in New York City? If so, are they just tightening their belt? So this listener obviously is suggesting that it's tough times for businesses. They maybe just can't afford to pitch into one of these funds now. What about that economic reality?
Well, as I said earlier, in some cases, it's not really the same answer for every property owner in terms of why they opted out. In the case of Tishman, it might be a financial hardship at the moment for that particular property, and we understood that. We were not necessarily surprised by anyone that opted out, because they had indicated during the course of the campaign that they were not fully engaged. As I said, we started with 62%. We're now at 80%. The numbers keep growing.
Sure. Adam Ragusa, as we just heard from Bob Furlong, who you interviewed, the owner of Copley Flare, he really feels that without a retail anchor, even if it's a big box like Target or maybe Walmart, maybe Downtown Crossing can never be what it used to be. Is your sense from these business owners that they feel like that hole in the ground has to be filled with something major for the Downtown Crossing to come back and be what it once was?
It's funny. The Filene's hole is this thing that we in the collective media sense have been covering relentlessly for a long time. And so whenever I'm down there and I'm talking to somebody, I say, hey, are we over covering this? And they all say the same thing, which is no, it's really that important. So I guess I'm interested to hear what Rosemary thinks, you know, she can accomplish without having an anchor there.
Well, what's really, there's no question that no matter what we say in terms of all the positive things that are going on here, with the theaters being renovated, with the new hotels, with the new restaurants, that the conversation in one way or another always goes back to the One Franklin Project and the hole in the ground. But during the course of the campaign, before the economy tanked and before that project stopped, those people that were working on the Business Improvement District campaign had to step back and ask other property owners if they really wanted to continue with the campaign. And every single one said, absolutely, we want to continue. We need a Business Improvement District because we need to protect the investments that we already made. And the longer the area is in decline, the longer it is going to take for us to bring it back.
Rosemary Sansone, in the time we have left, one more brief question for you. You've talked about what some of the money in this fund will be used for, cleaning, removing graffiti. What about using some of that money to help recruit tenants for empty spaces or setting up booths and trade shows to advertise Downtown Crossing? Have you thought about doing that with the money?
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, the first year in a bid is always called the transition year. It's the first year of making sure that the management entity is set up properly, that the organizational structure is what it should be, that the teams understand the area, and the first things that get addressed are clean and safe. As those things become very routine and people know exactly what needs to be done, the organization then starts shifting. It starts doing more marketing. It starts doing more retail workshops and other kinds of conferences and making sure that the area is marketed across the country.
Rosemary Sansone, thank you very much for that, and thanks for coming on. Rosemary Sansone is Executive Director of the Downtown Crossing Partnership. Thanks very much, Rosemary.
You're welcome.
And Adam Ragusa is a reporter and producer for WBUR. Thanks, Adam.
My pleasure.
Stay with us. After a short break, we'll hear from a legal pioneer whose new mission is to correct injustices from the civil rights era. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.